Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good to have you with us here today for another Read the Word. And I know you're enjoying this just as much as we are every single day. I'm telling you, if you've ever had somebody that just said, man, I'd really like to know what God's all about, get them hooked up to this program. And the playlist that's on this, it's right in the notes of this. We'll take them, and it's the whole playlist, all the way from Genesis 1:1 to where we are. Take them a little bit of time to get caught up, but they could do it. If they did five or six of these a day, they could get caught up to us, because this is an amazing study. And now here we go. Children of Israel disobeyed, complained. Yesterday, Moses disobeyed, and now you can't take them in. And yet today, God helps them win their battles. And what does that tell you and I about our life? No matter if you fail, no matter if you're just messing it up and you can't figure out why, God is going to be there in the middle of your life helping you. And all these things are done for our example so that we can learn how to walk with God every single day of our life. Now, remember, this is a listener-supported ministry. And if you feel inspired to tithe or give here, we would appreciate that. And we'll bless you exactly like the Father has instructed the men of God to bless the people who partner with them, with us. It's Philippians chapter 4. Apostle Paul teaches about it. And I'll put a link in that in the end here where you can come back and catch that and see that understanding in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray our opening prayer. Just like we do every day. You can find that in the notes. Father, I open my spirit, soul, and body to be led by you today so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, so that I will be rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. So I will know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Here we go. Numbers chapter 21. Danger, danger, danger. That's how Steve Irwin, but it always said it. Ready? Steve Irwin is already in heaven. Let's pray he made it to heaven. He's a cool guy. The king of Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelled in the south, heard that Israel was coming on the road to Etherim. Then he fought against Israel and took some of the prisoners. Oops. Don't do that to God's kids. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of that place was called Hormah. Verse 4, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Verse 5. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Hopefully, you're like me. And you have learned in this time through the Bible, do not complain against God's provision. You know what's going to happen. There's going to be a plague. We don't even have to read it yet. And we know judgment's coming because you just called God's food worthless. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Have you ever just said, well, they never learn? Verse 6. So the Lord sent fiery serpents upon the people, and they bit the people. And many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. I want God having to make a dumb-looking snake and telling me to look at it. Just learn not to complain. For I have a serious amount of preach on me tonight. But I'm going to read. I'm going to do good. Verse number 10. 5:55. Now the children of Israel moved out and camped in Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth and camped at Idj-Abiram. Remember, they're carrying the tabernacle with them everywhere they go now. In the wilderness, which is east of Moab, toward the sunrise. From there they moved and camped in the valley of Zered. And from there they moved and camped on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness that extends from the border of the Amorites. For the Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Therefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, Wahib in Supha, the brooks of the Arnon and the slope of the brooks that reaches to the dwelling of Ar and lies on the border of Moab. Verse 16. From there they went to Beer, which is the well where the Lord said to Moses, "Gather the people together, and I will give them water." Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well." All of you sing to it. The well leaders sank. The leaders sank, dug by the nation's nobles, by the lawgiver with their staves. And from the wilderness they went to Matana, and from Matana to Nahaliel. From Nahaliel to Bamoth, from Bamoth in the valley that is in the country of Moab to the top of Pisgah, which looks down on the wasteland. Isn't that an interesting journey of 3 million people, minus about 75,000 who died out of ignorance? Verse 21, then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, "Let me pass through your land. We will not turn aside into the fields or vineyards. We will not drink water from your wells. We'll go by the king's highway until we pass through your territory." But Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through his territory. Sihon gathered his people together and went out against Israel in the wilderness. And he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Then Israel, the former slaves, defeated him with the edge of the sword, and took possession of his land from the Arnon to Jabbok. I like that. Sword is a possessing weapon. So far as the people of Ammon, for the border of the people of Ammon was fortified. 25. Israel took all the cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon and in all its villages. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab and had taken all his land from his hand as far as the Arnon. Verse 27. Therefore, those who speak in Proverbs say, "Come to Heshbon, let it be built. Let the city of Sihon be repaired." For fire went out from Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It consumed Ar of Moab, the lords of the heights of the Arnon. Woe to you, Moab! You have perished, O people of Chemosh. He has given his sons as fugitives and his daughters into captivity to Sihon, king of the Amorites. But we have shot at them. Heshbon has perished as far as Dibon. Then we laid waste as far as Nopha, which reaches to Medeba. Thus Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites, than Moses sent to spy out Jazer. And they took its villages and drove the Amorites who were there right on out of there. King Og is defeated, verse 33. And they turned and went up by the way to Bashan. So Og, king of Bashan, went out against them, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. The Lord said to Moses, do not fear him, for I have delivered him into your hand with all his people and his land, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, feeded him, his sons, all his people, until there was no survivor left him, and they took possession of his land. Say it. They're doing it. They're possessing the land. Now, chapter 22. Here comes dumb Balak. This is about as dumb a story as you're going to find. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel, which is exactly what God said to them would happen. They would be afraid of them. Verse 4, Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass on the field. You're right. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, look, a people has come from Egypt, cover the face of the earth, and are settling next to me. This lets you, verse number 5, lets you know how big of a company it was. Oh, yeah. Because he said, they cover the face of the whole earth. I'm telling you, there was a mess of them. And if you don't know how to count in whole messes, learn. Verse number 6. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that whom you blessed is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand. A diviner's fee. And so came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak, and he said to them, lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? Verse 10. Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out. So Balaam is talking to God. But look how dumb he is. Verse 12, God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them, and you shall not curse these people, for they are blessed. So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. Princes of Moab rose, went back to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Then Balak again sent 7 princes, more numerous and more honorable than the others. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me. For I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come curse this people for me. Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. There's a great lesson in this.
Yeah.
No matter who comes and tells you to do whatever, and no matter how much they offer you to do, don't go cursing God's people. Remember when we was talking about cursing one of God's leaders? Just don't do it. Don't let the wicked get you to go astray on any day. Verse 19. Now, therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men could come to call you, rise and go with them. But only the word which I speak to you, that shall you do. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Verse 22. Then God's anger was aroused because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. Verse 26. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. I love this next part. 28. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I ever done to you that you have struck me these three times? If you're so rebellious against God that the donkey has to talk to you, repent of your sins. 29. Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. And the donkey said to Balaam, he's carrying on a conversation with the donkey, am I not your donkey on which you've ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. 31. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed his face, his head, and fell on his face. The angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me. Interesting. 33, the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have also killed you by now and let her live. You're dumber than a donkey. 34, Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it pleases you, I will turn back. The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Verse 36, when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is on the border at the Arnon, the border of the territory. Balak said to Balaam, did I not earnestly send you, calling for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you? Balaam said to Balak, look, I have come to you. Now, have I any power at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I must speak. So Balaam went with Balak until they came to Kirjath-Huzoth. Then Balak offered oxen and sheep, and he sent some to Balaam to the princes who were with him. So it was, the next day that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal. Now that's the false god. That's the wicked god. That from there he might observe the extent of the people.
There's a bunch of them out there.
And there's a bunch of them out there. And that's the end of our story for tonight. I know, for this morning. I know. You're like, no, you just got started.
It's a cliffhanger.
And there's too much to get in a half an hour. Because I already looked at it, because I've been like, I want to read the whole story, but there's just too much the way they have it laid out. But now think about this. As much as Israel sinned, God still drove out the Canaanite, the Hivite, the Amorite, the Jebusite. And some of those people are living in those cities as they move up through there. So some of them are starting to be able to live in a house and have a well. And I mean, you got to think about how this is actually happening here. And yet, here they come. Moab said, no, we're not going to let you go through our land. Well, Balaam is the king of Moab now, and he's like, oh my goodness, look how big a group of people these are. I mean, just the sheer number of them, 3 million people coming against whatever their nation was. They didn't have 3 million people, and they know they're doomed. And I love this story because there's a very powerful verse that happens in Numbers 23:23. There is no witchcraft curse against the covenant. And we'll get to that tomorrow. Now, let's pray the prayer of salvation like we do every day. I'm an evangelist. I want to see everybody, every person who's listening to this born again. If you have a relative who sent this to you or a friend, they sent it because they love you. The time is short. This is the very time of the end. We don't know the day or the hour, but I'm going to tell you, we know the season, and we are in the season. And at any moment's notice, Jesus can come right now.
Amen.
Russia and all of its allies are setting up to march into Israel and wipe them out. And when you see them begin that move, you better make sure your lamp is filled with oil, your lights are burning, and you're ready to go. This is not a false alarm, folks. This is happening right now, in front of our eyes in the news media. And you can read it right out of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 and see what's unfolding in Jesus' mighty name. Pray this prayer of salvation with me before I keep preaching. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day. And according to John chapter 3 and John chapter 1.
According to John chapter 3 and John chapter 1.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you raised again 3 days later.
And you raised again 3 days later.
Triumphant over sin.
Triumphant over sin.
Put your hands up and just say it. I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
In every area.
In every area.
Fill my whole being with you, Father.
Fill my whole being with you, Father.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Now, you might say, wow, Pastor, I can tell something's going on the inside of me. Yeah, it is. You just went from darkness to light. You just went from fear to faith. You just went from your sin to it being gone, and you're now filled with Jesus' righteousness. That's amazing. Jesus is the light of the world, and you just ask him to come in. Jesus is the author and finisher of all faith, and you just ask him in. Jesus' righteousness has filled you up, so now you can win against sin. You might say, Pastor, I don't understand much of this. I know. I've got a set of videos to give you. They're right here on YouTube. Don't cost you a penny to have them, but you do have to click the start button in order to get it to listen to it. And they'll teach you all about the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is your first step. It's just the first day forward. We're going to teach you how to walk with Jesus. Shoot me an email and say, Pastor, I prayed the prayer, and I'll be glad to be your friend and help you walk with God. I don't spam you, because preachers reap a hundredfold return, and a hundredfold return on spam is a mess. And we don't do that. We'll give you everything that you desire in God, in Jesus' mighty name. Remember this? We got timestamps in each of these videos that are four-digit blue numbers. And when you click that, it'll take you right to the spot in the tape what we've been speaking about. And you can listen to it over and over and over again. There's one at the beginning of every chapter. Every time I stop and explain it, I put a timestamp in there. Well, that's it. We're going to come back tomorrow for the rest of the story of Balaam and Balak. And God pours out seven blessings on Israel right now in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, that's what we say. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. See you tomorrow.